My dearly beloved in Christ, today's gospel is the familiar parable of the sower who went out, sowed seed in his field. And our Lord tells us that this gospel, and in fact, in that regard, it's unique in that our Lord gave the meaning of the parable. Whereas, for the most part, the apostles had to try to understand what he was saying in these figures. But in this particular parable, our Lord is speaking about seed falling on the ground and bringing forth fruit, and he points out that there are different things that prevent the seed from bearing the full fruit, whether the thorny ground, those who are choked by the cares of this world, or the stony ground, and so forth. And so each of us must reflect and see to it that the soil, so to speak, of our soul is good soil, so that the Word of God may germinate and bring forth fruit. And very often this analogy of a gardener or a farmer is used for the spiritual life, because just as seed that is planted grows up to full fruition and brings forth its particular fruit, so it is the will of God that the Word of God and the teachings of our Lord, the teachings of Holy Mother Church, germinate in our souls and bring forth the fruit of a good Christian life. And in fact, we could say that every one of us, as members of the mystical body of Christ, it is our daily duty, it is our responsibility, it is our obligation to bring forth fruit and to allow the spiritual life to grow and to develop to full maturity. And we do that by avoiding occasions of sin, by avoiding dangers, by a life of prayer, cultivating a prayer life, devout reception of the sacraments, practice of the works of mercy, and so forth. And we should be ashamed to think that we have not achieved the spiritual fruit, the spiritual maturity that we should have at this point in our lives. Because if we fail to live as a good Christian, we detract from the mystical body of Christ. Each of us is a member of the mystical body of Christ, and the full body is only as strong as the individual members that make up the body. And if we fail, and we do not live a good Catholic life, we adversely affect the other members of the mystical body by failing to do our part for the body as a whole. St. Augustine says something interesting. He said, there are many proofs that the Catholic religion is the true religion, but one, I think, that is for me the best, or one of the best, is that the Catholic religion has the teachings which lead to a life of holiness. That the Catholic religion has the doctrine and the laws and the guidance, the counsel, the direction, the teaching, which leads to a holy life. All we have to do is take it to heart and to apply it. Now, in striving to do so, one of the things that we must strive to do is to get to know ourselves through examination of conscience, through reflecting upon our actions, our thoughts, who we are, what we are like. We get to know ourselves. And the better you know yourself, the more you can take the measures to overcome the particular things that are problems for you, the particular faults that give you spiritual problems. Because we can't make progress if we don't know ourselves. So getting back again to St. Augustine, he had a famous prayer, Lord, grant that I may know myself in order that I may know thee. Who am I? What am I? What are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? We ought to pray for self-knowledge. And especially as we are approaching the season of Lent, that time every year where we seek to do penance, we seek to atone for our sins, we seek to grow spiritually, that examination of conscience is very valuable. And honest taking stock of our spiritual lives to see where we fail, what areas we need to improve. And one of the things we recognize is that we have a particular failing that gives us more problem than anything else. We have a particular weakness. We all have one, or maybe two or three, what we call predominant faults. And all spiritual writers say that we ought to seek to know, first of all, our predominant fault, and then to concentrate our spiritual energies on conquering, overcoming that predominant fault. Because once that predominant fault is taken care of, everything else seems to fall into place. But if we don't overcome that one area of weakness, then whatever else we do won't really accomplish the goal of spiritual progress. And we see this in Scripture. We see this in Scripture in the example of many individuals. And to use just one, we see the sad case of Judas Iscariot, the apostle, the chosen apostle who betrayed our Lord. And why or how could he ever have come to such a point of reprobation that he would betray his master? He who had been nourished by the teachings of our Lord for 3 years and the example and all the miracles, how could he have done such a thing? Well, we know that he had a problem. He had a sin, a failing that he did not overcome. And that was his greed, his avarice, his love of money. Remember how when our Lord, shortly before the Passion, was at dinner in the house of Lazarus, and Mary Magdalene poured the ointment on his feet, and it says the whole house was filled with the aroma of this precious ointment. And Judas complained, and he said, why was not that sold? It was very valuable. That could have been sold, and the money could have been put into the purse for the poor. And the evangelist adds the statement. He said, he did not say this because he had any concern for the poor, but because of his love for money, that he wanted to have that money in his control. And how sad to think that he could have fallen so low. But it is a warning for us. Each of us has a predominant fault. Do you know it? You first of all have to, through examination of conscience, get to know yourself. What is my predominant fault? Because I can't overcome it if I don't know it. Now, spiritual writers tell us that all sins go back to the seven founts, the seven capital sins, the seven sources of sin. And as I mentioned last Sunday, my plan is to, today with this general sermon on the capital sins, and then beginning next Sunday to go through them one at a time. What are the seven capital sins? We all should know them: pride, anger, envy, lust, gluttony, sloth, covetousness. We all have a proclivity to one more than the others. Oh yes, we tend to fail in each of these in some way from time to time. But there is one that is the predominant fault. And so by going through them and by examination of conscience and an honest assessment of ourselves, we get to know ourselves. And then we can make progress. Now, it is important to understand that the capital sins are not necessarily sins of themselves. In other words, you can have a tendency towards anger or a feeling of anger. That doesn't mean you committed a sin of anger. You can have a temptation to pride. You can have prideful thoughts, but as long as you strive to suppress them, you haven't given in to pride. And so on with the others. So a feeling, a temptation, a movement towards that particular capital sin is not a sin. But it can become a sin if we do not control it, mortify ourselves. These sins are called capital sins from the Latin word caput, which means head, because they are the seven heads or fountains or sources of all sin. They are called capital not because they are the greatest sins in themselves, but because they are the chief reasons why men commit sin. They are the origin of every sin. All other sins arise from them as from a source. So seek to cut off the head of the serpent and you slay the serpent. Seek to cut off the head, the fountain, the source of your sins, and you will make spiritual progress. So getting back to the idea of the seeds, we have to water the seed, we have to plant the seed, we have to water it, but we also have to prune away the bad growth. And because of original sin, the bad growth, we might say, is going on all the time in our soul, in our spiritual life. So remember, the first thing, to seek to know yourself. Ask that grace of God. Say, come Holy Ghost, enlighten me and help me to see myself. Because by nature, we tend to always make excuses. It's hard to admit, yes, I have this failing. Yes, I have this weakness. I have this problem. We tend to delude ourselves. So first of all, seek to know yourself. Use the examination of conscience, a wonderful spiritual tool. Be honest with yourself. Pray again for that grace of self-knowledge. And then once you gain it, then you can make the resolutions and you can work at overcoming that particular sin. You can choose penances for Lent that directly counteract that particular sin. So, for example, if a person has a problem with pride, then he will seek to perform acts of humility and to pray for humility and do things which will cultivate the virtue of humility. To use again the example of Judas, if a person is inclined towards avarice or covetousness, then he will be more free in almsgiving, giving to the poor, striving to overcome that attachment to the things of this earth. And so forth with all the others. So examination of conscience, prayer to know ourselves, and a study of the capital sins, which we will begin individually next Sunday, will help us to see ourselves, to know ourselves, in order that we might overcome our predominant fault and make that spiritual progress, bring forth that spiritual fruit that God desires from each of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.